Okay, welcome to our new series on Igeres HaRamban. So Be'ez Hashem, over the course of the summer, we'll try to learn through this letter, this Igeres, that the Ramban wrote to his son. I want to start just a brief background, some information about the Ramban before we get into the letter itself. The Ramban was born in 1195. He moves to Eretz Yisrael in 1267, and he passes away in the year 1270. So he was about 75 years old. He wrote this letter, according to most authorities, most opinions. He wrote this letter to his son Nachman. It was Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. So his father was Nachman. He named his son Nachman. And his son was in Spain. He wrote this letter to him after he got to Eretz Yisrael. And this letter, which was meant to be read every day, we'll see, it's all about Midos. So one of the reasons he had to run away was the Ramban we know is probably best well known for his Perush on Chumash, which is in some ways I can say it's number two only to Rashi. We try not to compare. They were both big gedolim in our Mesorah. But the Ramban himself says that Rashi is the Bechor when it comes to Perushim on Chumash. So we could say that the Ramban, if he's not the Bechor, then he's number two. The Revolbi writes that Chumash, Rashi, and Ramban is something that's critical for every Jew to know. It's one of the basics of Yedios, of knowledge that we have to have. And the Ramban, so he's known for his Perush on Chumash. He has his Perush on many Mesechtas as well, many Mesechtas of Gemara. He has some Sifri Halacha. And another very important work that he has, which is not as well known, not as well studied, is there was an apostate whose name was Pablo Christiani, who brought charges against the Gemara. And the Ramban was required to defend the Gemara. He was the defense lawyer, if you will, for the Gemara. He was allowed to defend, but he was not allowed to attack. He did such a good job of defending the Gemara that obviously, by definition, by making the defense so clear and articulate, it made Pablo Christiani and the church look bad. And so although he was given the authority, the free speech, obviously they didn't really mean it. And although they protected him, but he had to leave. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Ramban. And we have this letter from the Ramban, which, again, was written to his son, but it's now a Yerusha for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, I think we should get into the letter. There's a lot more to talk about the Ramban, but let's start the letter. The letter starts with famous words. The irony of the famous words are that they're not even his words. They're really borrowed from Shlomo HaMelech, from a pasuk in Mishlei. But certainly the Ramban made them famous by putting them at the beginning of his Igeres HaRamban. The Ramban starts off, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh Torah Simecha, which means, Shema b'ni, listen my son, Musar Avicha, to the Musar of your father, v'al titosh Torah Simecha, do not forsake the Torah of your mother. So let's, a couple of important yisodos that we could pull out of this pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Aleph, Pasuches. So first of all, the first word in the Igeres is Shema. If you're going to write an Igeres of Musar, first thing that the reader needs to know is Shema. Shema means to listen, it means to hear. The Pasuk says, Vayisro. Vayishma Yisro, and Yisro heard. So the truth is, Chazal tell us, that everybody heard. Now, who didn't know the news about Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf? Everybody knew. But Yisro heard. Yisro internalized the words. Before you start your Musar Shir, before you start your Musar Seder, before you start your Musar Sefer, you have to go in with a mindset, a growth mindset. I'm going to become a better person because of this Sefer. This Sefer might tell me something or talk to me about an area of my life that I am lacking, that I can improve. But Shema, you have to be willing to listen. So often, we listen to a shmooze for the vart, for the good vart that the mashgiach is going to say. We read a Musar Sefer to have things to say over, little vertlach that we could say over to other people. But that's not the goal of the Musar Sefer or the Musar Shmuz. It's to talk to you so that you can hear what is said and you could say, and you could look into yourself and say, wait, I can do this better. I need to do this better. That's what we have to do. Shema. So the first word the Ramban chooses, it's not his word, it's Shlomo Melech's word, but he chooses to put this word first to tell us when you open up a Musar Sefer, the first thing you have to realize is if you're not going to listen to the message, then don't bother. Shema. The second word in the Pasuk is Bini. I think here too, this is not by accident. It's obviously the Ramban is telling his son, so it's a play on words almost that he's borrowing a pasuk, but he's saying Shema Bini. You listen to my son. He's talking to his son. He writes this letter to his son, but Bini has a very big significance, a great significance when it comes to Musar, and that is that effective Musar has to come from a place of love. It has to come from a person speaking to another person about shortcomings, but knowing that the one giving the Musar loves the other person, cares about the other person, and wants the other person to get better, to become better. Shema Bini. He's telling him, you're my son. My son is a sign of endearment. There's no greater description of love than saying you're a child, because you're a child, you're my child, that means I'm your parent. The love that a parent has for a child is automatic, it's guaranteed. And that's what the Ramban wants us to know. Shema, you have to listen to the messages that we're going to tell you. Bini, and you should realize that I love you. It's not so easy to give Musar. The Gemara in Erechin Dav Tezayin Mabez, Gemara's a machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whether it's even possible to give Tochacha. Rabbi Tarfon says, Tamei Ani, I'd be shocked if there was anybody in our generation that was able to be Makabel Musar, that can accept Musar Tochacha. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, yeah, and I wonder if anybody could give Musar. And the Sfarim say, you know, what does that mean to give Musar? What's so hard about giving Musar? The answer is Musar has to come from a place of love. You know, so often when we're giving Musar to somebody, it's because we're frustrated with them. We're upset at them. We're angry about something. It's almost like us who needs the Musar. It has to come from a place of love. It has to come from, I'm not giving you this Musar for me. I'm giving you this Musar for you, because you need to hear it, because you need to improve. I'm here to help you. And when Musar comes from that place, that's when it's niskabel. When it comes from a place of, I need something to happen and it's not happening right now, that's not effective Musar. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, this is not so easy. In his generation, he doesn't know if anybody is on that madrega. So I don't know how to answer. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't think anybody in his generation was capable of giving such Musar, I don't know what to say, what it means for us. But the words of the Ramban, Shema Bini, listen to the message. Bini, you're my son. Okay. Musar Avicha, Noiv Torah Simecha, the idea is that, you know, parents are responsible to be machanech their children. We teach them the Aleph Beis, we teach them Mishnayis, we teach them Psukim and Chumash and Navi, we teach them Mishnayis, we teach them Gemara, we want them to learn Halacha. But we have to realize that we're also responsible to instill Midos. If anything, maybe it's even greater. And what's the Masechta in Shas about Midos called? It's called Avos. It's that Av who's responsible for the Midos as well. Shlo writes, there's a specific Midah that is the most important of all other Midos, and that's the Midah of Emes. You always find, in interacting with children, you could work with any child, with any student, anybody. You could always find an area where you can connect. Unless the person is not an honest person. When you're dealing with somebody who's dishonest, it breaks down all the ability to connect, to make a meaningful relationship, to be on the same page. When you're dealing with somebody who's not honest, you can't have that dynamic. So the Shlo says that's the most important midah, and that's the one, if there's one above all else that we have to instill in our children, it's the midah of MS at all costs. Now, the Pasuk was a Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches, so I want to read to you the Rashi on that pasuk. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, titash Torah Simecha. What is Musar Avicha and Torah Simecha? So says Rashi, the Musar Avicha is Mashanosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Bichsav V'Alpeh. That is what Hashem gave to Moshe, Bichsav and Balpeh, which is the Torah, the Halacha. So Musar Avicha, the Musar of your father, refers to Halacha. First, the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh. What is Torah Simecha? Umascha, Knesserel, Kamo, Pasuk in Yecheskel, Mamech Labiyah, Vahim Divrei Sofrim, Shechidshu, Vahosifu, Vahosu, Siyogim, LaTorah. Says Rashi, Torah Simecha refers to the Dinim Durabanan, the Gzeros, the Takanos, that the Divrei Sofrim instituted in order to safeguard the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. Now, it's interesting, because when we think of a father and a mother, typically, the father is the one who instills fear, the mother is the one who instills a softness, a love, and this is not just, you can look around, you can see it, but it's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says that the reason we mention the mother, Ish imove aviv tirou, you have to fear the mother and the father. Why? Gemara asks, why do we have to fear the mother and the father? Shouldn't it be the opposite? You should fear the father and the mother. So Gemara says, no, because you naturally fear your father. Your father instills fear. The mother instills this relationship of love, of compassion. And because of that, it's almost interesting that that this would be. Because usually, Musar Avicha, Rashi says, is the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh. That's the dinim, the halachos. And then the Torah Simecha is referring to the Gzeros. Now, Gzeros are dinim derabanan, you know, that the Torah says you could do it this way, and the Chacham came along and made it more difficult for us. They said, we can't do this, we can't do it. Not only are we not allowed to do that, we're not even allowed to do this. And it seems backwards. You would think that the father would be the one harsher and stricter and instituting more restrictions and making things quote unquote difficult for us. We'll see if that's really true. But we would think it would be the opposite. We think the mother is the one who would try to make it as easy as possible for us to lift the restrictions, to make things easier. So why does Shlomo HaMelech choose Musar Avicha and Torah Simecha? It should be the opposite. It should be the Av is the one who's instituting the difficult restrictions, and it should be Imecha who is making things easier. So Rav Gifter says that he explains how that's not true. He says if you look throughout history, there was the Purushim versus the Tzedukim, and even in our day, you have those who are committed to Torah Hashem, to Mima, those who are committed to Halacha, to Shulchan Aruch, and there are those who say that there are certain parts of the Torah that don't apply. I could be Mekabel Torah Shebichsav, I can't be Mekabel Torah Shebal Peh, I could be Mekabel what it says in the Chumash, but, you know, what the Rishonim, the Achronim say, so that's not part of my Yiddishkeit. There are people who said that, and we know what happens to those groups. Those groups eventually cease to exist. But the Chachamim gave these safeguards. They made it a little more difficult. And many of these groups didn't want all these restrictions, so they did away with the Dinim Derabanan. Ara Yom Hazeh, unfortunately. I've heard people say, you know, we're going to... I once heard somebody say, I think people, you know, people think this. I don't know why they think this, but you know, we're going to be careful about the Torah laws when it comes to Taras HaMishpacha, when it comes to Harchakos Derabanan. So you know, that's more subjective and doesn't really apply, or we don't need it, and they kind of do away with it, which is a shock. It's mentioned in the Gemara. It's in Shulchan Aruch. I don't understand how people, you know. I don't understand how people react like this, but you have people who do this. So Rav Gifter explains with a mashal. So how is it possible? It seems again our original kasha. How is it possible that Torah Simecha means the gzeros, which are additional restrictions? You think it's the opposite. So there was a boy in the mashal. Rav Gifter gives a mashal. A boy had a desire. He always liked good food. So there was a non-kosher restaurant that opened up in the center of his town. It was a steakhouse. Now, a steakhouse is delicious food. So the father came to the boy and he said, I know you like food. I know you like steak. don't you dare go to that restaurant. If you go to that restaurant, you're going to be severely punished. Now, the mother saw this happen, and she's nervous for her son, because the mother says, oh no, I feel so bad. It's going to be so hard for him. He's going to get punished. So I don't want him to do it. But if he's going to walk by the store, and he's going to smell he's going to take a whiff of the meat. It's going to be so difficult for him. Either he's going to give and he's going to lose, or it's going to be very hard for him. And I don't want it to be hard for him. So the mother says, you know what? They're opening this restaurant in this block. You're not allowed to go within a block of that restaurant. And this way, it won't be an issue for you. So in the mashal, who is the one who has rachmanus? It's the mother. The mother doesn't want it to be difficult for him. She knows that he's going to get severely punished by the father if he eats the non-kosher steak. But on the other hand, it's going to be hard if he goes near. He's going to have a problem. He's going to come too close. He's going to make a mistake. If he doesn't make a mistake, it's going to be hard for him. She says, you know what? Stay a block away from the restaurant. Don't go anywhere near the restaurant. That's coming from a place of love. The mother, it's the opposite. Sometimes people look and say, the Chachamim, we're trying to make our lives more difficult. All these restrictions, what do we need this for? And that's not true at all. Not true at all. It's the opposite. Dinam to Rabbanan, the Chachamim loved us. And they wanted what was best for us. And they knew that what was best for us was that we can't come close to being over an Isser Daraisa. So the Chachamim said, we love you so much, we don't want you to have a problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to tell you, you know what? Stay away. Stay away from the whole thing. We'll make a gzeira. Don't do this because you might come to do this. They're not making our lives more difficult. They're making our lives easier because they understand how horrible it would be if chas v'shalom we would do the isur daraisa. So they want to protect us. They're trying to protect us, and it's higufa what they're trying to do. So it's a perspective, and it's a very powerful perspective. It's coming from a place of love. Dinim d'Rabbanan are coming to protect us, to save us. You know, when you draw a line, and somebody tells you not to cross the line, it's very hard to tiptoe the line and not cross it. So if somebody knows you really can't cross it, you're really going to get in big trouble, they would tell you, take two full big steps away from that line. Don't go near the line. It's not coming to make your life more difficult. It's the opposite. It's coming from a place of love. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to trip while you're walking on the line and fall on the wrong side of the line, and then you're really in trouble. So that's what Dinim D'Rabbanan are. And that's why Rashi can say, Dinim D'Rabbanan are Torah Simecha. It's Bedafka Torah Simecha, the mother who loves you, who cares about you, who's compassionate, and wants your life to be as easy as possible. They're the ones who say, you know what? I'm going to make a gzeirah. It's the same thing, you take the baby to the doctor and the mother holds the baby down while the baby gets a shot. Why does the father should take the, sometimes the father does take the baby, but why does the mother allow that to happen? And the mother feels bad while it's happening. But the mother knows it's coming from a place of love. I don't want the baby to get sick. So it's going to be a little shot, and then after that, they're not going to have a problem. They're not going to be ill. Rav Goldberg, in his from Tells, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, in his parish on the Igeres, so in Oz Beis, he says that there's a dynamic that he's talking about why it says Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titosh Torah Simecha, why he uses the Lashon of Shema by Musar Avicha, by Avicha, and it's al titosh, don't turn away, when it comes to Imecha. So he said that, he brings rise for this, that the Ikar Chinuch that comes from the father is with speech. The father's away at work all day, he comes back, he speaks to the child, he learns with the child, whatever it is. The mother, the chinuch of the mother is that the child sees what the mother does. He quotes a line from the Sefer Nitei Gavriel, which is a halacha sefer from a Hasidic Rav in Brooklyn. Nitei Gavriel, Hilchos Yontif, this is Chelek Aleph, Amud Pei Zayin. This is Ha'ara Yud Gimel. He writes, he's talking about Hilchos Yontif. Are you allowed to, he's talking about Tochen. Are you allowed to grind take a meat grinder, not electric, but are you allowed to use a grinder to grind meat? Okay. Now, so he says, Chen Ra'isi, Eitz Al HaChazanish. says, I saw by the Chazon Ish, b'shem HaChazon Ish, in the name of the Chazon Ish, he said, really, Mekar Adin, it should be mutter. Mekar Adin, it's mutter to grind meat, which is not subject to Ketochein, but then he writes that the Chazon Ish said, Ach mikevon she'imo lo osas okein. He says, Chazon Ish says, my mother never did this on Yontif. Lo ratza lahatir. He didn't want to be matir. It's a powerful idea. The Chazon Ish was ready to be mekel on the Shaila, but he said, you know, it's not right. Because my mother, I guess she had meat, and she chose not to grind it up. There's some Torah Simecha that's there. That's the. It's important to realize the chinuch of the mother. The children watch the way the mother dresses, the way the mother acts, the way that whether the mother davens, you know, the mother is make her do when she has little children. She's putter from davening. She's putter from davening. It's a mesorah, bal peh that I heard from the Chafetz Chaim. B'shem the Chafetz Chaim. You have little babies, so you're putter from tefillah. Maybe you could say mekayim the. Magen Avram, that you know, you say a little tefillah, please Hashem, please help me today, b'zahu, and you're good to go. But it's not so simple, because children see. Oh, you see, didn't have to daven. I was busy. Didn't have to daven. So it's very important, as much as possible. Sometimes it's not possible, but as much as possible, the Torah Simecha is the way that the mother acts. That's what the children see, and we know very so often that actions speak much louder than words. What the words that the father says are never as powerful as what the mother does. Rabbi Fran tells the story that he always tells his children, important to bench, important to bench. He said one summer, so he was in yeshiva, but in the summer, so he would daven in yeshiva. He lived on Yeshiva Lane, so down the block, whatever it was. In Baltimore, he would walk to his house, he would eat breakfast, then he would come back to yeshiva and he would learn. So he said one day, he forgot the bench. So he left his house, he went to yeshiva. A few minutes later, he comes back in and his children saw him. And so one of his older daughters said, Abu, Tati, what are you doing? And he said, I forgot the bench. The din is I have to come back and bench. And she said to him, she said, you know, all the years you always tell me to bench. But when I saw that you did it, you know, you left and you came back to bench, he said, oh, I have to bench. And that action, that one action, was so much more powerful than all the times that he said, remember to bench, remember to bench. They saw that benching was important, and they got the message. Just, Agav, something interesting I saw, I was reading an article about the Mishnah Berurah, that it's interesting, when you learn Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah is very focused on details. And you look at the other Sfarim from his generation and a little bit earlier, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a little bit earlier, the Chayei Adam, Chayei Adam was earlier, but the Aruch HaShulchan, a little bit earlier. Those Halacha Sfarim are much more generic and general and not as detail-oriented. Well, why is it that the Mishnah Berurah was so detail-oriented? So this article suggested that Chafetz Chaim was coming from a different place. Chafetz Chaim held that all the earlier Sfarim, you know, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it wrote everything in general terms. And if you want to know the details, just look at what your mother does. Look at what your father does. Chafetz Chaim felt that even in his generation, there was already a breakdown of that Mesorah, of Torah Simecha. And because of that, he felt that he needed to reinstitute those details which were getting lost in the sauce, so to speak. That parents were not seeing what their children were doing, and they were not picking up those details. So now you need a sefer that's going to tell you what the details are. And that was why his sefer was so much more specific about every nekuda of every shaila that the Mishnah Berurah goes into in the Ber Halacha, Chulei, Shaar Tzion's. It's all because he felt that there was the Torah Simecha, which was always natural. That, you know, you read the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you have the basics of Halacha, and the specifics, you'll always be able to tell, because you'll see your parents do it, and however your parents do it, that's how their parents did it, and that's how their parents did it. Once the Chafetz Chaim felt that there was a break in the chain, it was important to rework the from the sources, from the Rishonim and the Achronim, and that's what he did. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah is. Halachas Kama V'Kama, in our day, unfortunately, especially after the war, a lot of minhagim, a lot of family minhagim were lost or changed, and the same thing can be true, the same thing can be said about the Torah Simecha that we see in our houses, that there was a generation or two generations that didn't see didn't see what their parents did, or they were too young to notice what their parents did, to remember what their parents did, and so many things got lost that we have to, in a way, what the Mishnah Berurah did was almost prophetic. It was nevuah that it was going to have to be reworked, and Baruch Hashem that the Chafetz Chaim wrote, and we have the Mishnah Berurah, and we have other halachas for him. But there's still many pieces of Torah Simecha that we can gain from looking at our parents and the way they act in Midos and in Halacha as well, and what they got from their parents. And that's the first line of Shema Bani Musa Avicha al Titosh Torah Simecha. Bezer Hashem, we'll continue later on.